Alan Kring Productions presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 5 for Autumn Semester 2018. Lecture 8, delivered on September 13, 2018. The title of this lecture is Financial Statement Analytics.
Today, Ratio Analytics. In this here, I am going to bring up that Ratio Analytics sheet, and I strongly encourage you to have your, as I said, I don't want computers in this classroom on a regular basis, but in this case, yes, please have your computer out if you have one. And we're going to talk about doing the ratios. And as I go along, I'm going to be explaining how ratios, what these ratios mean. So first things first here, well, I did it again. The formula sheet is in ReggieNet. Your ratios formula sheet is here in ReggieNet. Let me close this off. And I'll pull this up for you, the formulas. And then we're going to talk a little while here. And I'm probably just going to pull up and do a whole new company here tonight, just so I can start from the basics. And I can talk about a lot of different things as I'm going along here. In your resources tab in ReggieNet, the ratio analytics formula are right here. Just pull them up. Financial analysis formula, and those are the formula that we'll use. Now, the book has a few that I don't have in there, and I've got a couple the book doesn't have, too. And especially, there's one in here that's real old school, and I'll explain why it should never have been abandoned as one of the core ratios to look at. But as you can see in this financial analytics analysis formula sheet, we break up the ratios into five different kinds: profitability, asset activity, market, liquidity, and debt. Now, this DuPont thing here, there are actually a couple of these, and I'm not sure. I think the book shows you one that's different from the one I show you. It turns out, just the algebra of it, there are certain ratios that you could take two ratios and combine them, and you get the third one. Yeah. Profitability, asset activity, liquidity, debt. And then the DuPont. So, for example, let me explain what DuPont does. It says that actually, see this thing right here? This is ROA, net income over total assets. That's return on assets. It turns out that if you take net income over sales, which is net margin, and multiply that by sales over total assets, which is asset turnover, you get your return on assets. So what this means is that sometimes we'll see something like a return on assets. It doesn't look good. Let's say it's something like 4%, which you might say, well, that kind of sucks in this industry. Why is it 4%? But you look at the two ratios that create it. Oh, one of them is really healthy, but one of them is really bad. So it's not really return on assets that's bad. It's one of the ratios that drives it that is the problem. So DuPont is just a way to break down a ratio and say which part, what really caused it to do that. And I'll show you this in some of the work, the exercise we'll do. So So the next thing we want to do here is we're going to have a look. Now, when you do really basic financial analysis, ratio analytics, you want to start with something that's a pretty easy play, something that's got profitability. It's a profitable company, because it gets a little hairy with these ratios when you get some negatives in there, or if you see too much weird volatility, or a company that has odd financial statements. But to begin with, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up a company, and again, we're going to start from scratch here. And let's just make sure that this company is profitable. You might have heard of this company before, Apple. Apple? Yeah. Apple, the company that makes the pies and the caramel apples and those apple turnovers that you can get at some quality restaurants with that icing that's on the top of this delicately flaky crust.
Sounds like a pie.
Right. Anyway, you notice I'm hungry. I haven't eaten today. So after, seriously, after this, I am so hitting Chick-fil-A. Okay. Let's talk here, okay? Now we're going to go over here. Now, the first thing that we're going to want to do is you got this sheet in your ReggieNet as well, your ratio analytics sheet. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to clear out all this stuff that I've got in here so far. You don't have that in your?
No.
Okay. You want to be that way about it? Watch this. Don't type this in until /ISU/ That's a problem. I got a nice full-size keyboard, and I usually use a laptop keyboard. Have you ever done that? Your hands are just not. Oh well. Anyway, ISU-prof.com /docs/ratio analytics. Now, capital letters do matter. Don't let anyone tell you on the interwebs, everything can be lowercase. I always use my name lowercase because I'm so modest. Don't do that, because actually databases do care about capitals. And in this case, the R and the A in ratioanalytics.xslx are capitalized. Enter. Save the file. Yes, absolutely. Oh, I know, right? I'm trying to. I lost most of my zombie bots, and so I've got to create a whole new army of them to attack websites I don't like, especially to go back after Cozy Bear and Fancy Bear. It was so funny. The zombie bots were how we cracked into those Russians who were doing all the trolling. It was just basically zombie bots, like the ones that I have, or the ones I've heard about. Now let me get rid of this. Okay, here's your, don't save. Okay, now, here's your ratio analytics sheet. Wait. Now, we can make this pretty later, okay? We can make this thing, and this is what we call the dashboard. The front end of the calculations. This is what we show to other people. Now, understand this, that other people who look at your results, they're all information consumers of one sort or another, but they fall into three broad categories. And forgive me for saying this, but you've got to begin to accept the fact that you are different from normal people now. You're educated. Act like it. And appreciate what you're doing to help people who aren't. First kind of person who's going to look at this is a person who is clueless. This is a person who says, go Cubbies. I should not have done that. This is a person who's going to look at the numbers, not really know what they mean. I know.
Sounds a lot less childish.
Yeah, Cubbies. Yeah, well.
It sounds like people are really supporting, like, the place where you put your shoes in the morning.
No. I think of it more as a furries thing. Sicko. Okay, now, the second group of people, they understand your numbers, but they don't know the math behind them. And you don't need to show them the math. They're the ones, they're probably in positions of authority or they're your peers, but they majored in things like art management or in history, education, something like that. They're bright enough, but and they know what your numbers are telling them, but you don't need to show them. Don't show off for people your math skills. Be glad I don't do that, otherwise you would have no idea what I'm doing up here. And then there's a third kind of person who actually does understand the math. They can be very difficult and dangerous to work with. Now, your bosses want to see those mechanics behind it, make sure everything's right. But you've also got these people who might think they know what they're doing, but you don't want them to play with your math formulas. That's why you create a dashboard on the front. I'll tell you a story about this. Happened at a large company right in this area where they hired a fellow, treasury, the head of treasury at this corporation, hired a fellow. She's a CFO, basically. They hired a person, and he had claimed he had good Excel skills and all this kind of stuff, blah, blah, had a good background, had an education from a supposedly reputable school, University of Illinois. Ever notice the only people who are impressed with U of I are the people who graduate from U of I, sort of like another school, a private school right here in town. But anyway, I shouldn't say that. Moving along here. Well, what they did, she gave him a job. All he was to do was put in new numbers into a spreadsheet that the company used. This spreadsheet had been built up over not just months. It had been built up over years, in fact, decades. The core sheet actually began in a predecessor of Excel called Lotus 1-2-3. It was massive. Extremely complex, but it had a place where you could just put in numbers and out would come these results from complex calculations all through all the tabs. Well, this this young man, he decided he was going to go in and fix a few things that he caught in the sheets. Yeah, I just tweaked a couple of formulas, and you know, I simplified a couple of things that were so way complicated. And then he did something horrible. He saved the file. He didn't save it as new, the same name, new.new or whatever. He saved the file, overwriting it. Unfortunately, by the time they saw that he had done this, the archive had already been written to the back cloud rack servers. And when they found out what he had done, they actually had to scramble to find another server that used to have the sheets on it and pull it up from there. They fired his ass right on the spot. So don't let your sheets be accessible. Lock them. The dashboard is where people need to see. And that's the one we make pretty so that we can print it out as reports, put it into our term papers, print it out for meetings that we have with others, and all of that. That's what you want to have happen with your dashboard. It shows the end result of the calculations, not how the calculations were done. So that means, now this is only a partial dashboard. And when you're doing a dashboard, do the work first and then pretty it up. Just get the formulas in there, get everything cleaned, and then from there, you can go back and make nice things. The one thing you don't want to do, and please be careful about this, if you join my club, I'm going to have people come in and teach you about presentation style and all that. Don't make things silly looking. Bright colors, animations, cutesy things, pictures, don't do that. Make it visually pleasant, though. Okay, so here we're ready to go. The first thing we're going to do is go to sec.gov. And we are going to bring out Apple. APPL. I knew that, okay? I do that so often. /ratioanalytics.xsls. Okay, now we've got Apple. Let's go get the 10K. And there they are. Now I'm going to tell you something here. What I'm going to show you, you actually don't need to download the file. Later in this course, I'm going to show you how you can directly pull, P-O-L-L, pull data sites and get the data straight from the site instead of bringing it out. Yeah, you're pulling the site like you're asked. No, you're asking like doing a survey or a poll. You're pulling the site. Now, there's a risk in doing a polling. I actually recommend in some cases that you actually do download the file, which we're going to do here. And by the way, I'm teaching you analytics. This is the real thing. This is what businesses are hoping people will be able to do.
Should we put it in the same
button? Yes, always keep them, as long as you keep them in the same directory, they will know each other. Now, the next thing that we're going to do here, and I'm going to turn down the lights. I'm going to turn down the lights. Don't be creepy with each other, okay, please. Okay, whenever you pull down a spreadsheet like this, or any kind of a data set, the first thing you want to do is just like what we did in the Army. When you go into a new territory, you go in country, first thing you do is recon. All you do is just go through and look at where things are. Just have a look at everything to see. Okay, what's the lay of the land? We've got something here. Okay, for my analytics today, I don't give a rat's butt about this sheet. This one, yeah, I like this one. This is my income statement. The next thing I'm going to look at is, well, see, that one, I'm not really interested in that one for this. Maybe later, but the next one I'm interested in is clear over here. Oh, there's my balance sheet. So today we're working on income statement and balance sheet. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring the balance sheet over back over here and put it next to the income statement. That way they're right together. So as I'm flipping through ratios, the ones that need one number from one of them, another number from the other one, you're not racing back and forth across the stupid tabs to find it. It's okay to do that. It won't hurt anything. And even if you update this file, they'll be back in the order that they were. Your formula won't care. They're referencing by the name on the tab. So it could, this balance sheet, on the next time you download it, could be clear at the back of the file. Doesn't matter. Its name is all that's important. Okay, so keep that in mind. Shape your workspace. This is one of those things that applies every bit as much today as it did 50 years ago. When we started understanding that workers understand far better where their tools should be than management people. The stories are famous about how managers were ordering workers on these factory floors. You put your tools up here. That's where they look good. And put the stuff over. And every time they'd go away, the workers would move their tools back to these messy places. That's because they could use them there. They could reach and get it. You do the same thing with your worksheets. And when you are a boss of other people, leave them the heck alone when they're moving sheet tabs around like this. Because they're doing it to become more efficient. Let efficiency take its course. Anyway, enough of that. So we got our income statement right here, our balance sheet right here. Now I do dearly love Apple, because Apple actually does an awfully good job of putting things in the right way. One thing that I will warn you, they use the wrong name right here. The SEC just doesn't care anymore. This is not gross margin. This is gross profit or gross income. Gross margin is the ratio. Gross profit is the number. Gross margin is gross profit or gross income divided by sales. But you can fix that quickly enough. Nothing big there. And again, operating income. That can have all kinds of different names. EBIT is the one you'll see me use often. Earnings before income and tax, earnings before interest and taxes. Operating profit. They're all the same thing. I used to forget to say that I'd have the poor students just freaking out because they'd pull these financial statements that had a word they didn't recognize. What does this mean? Well, that's the same thing as, that's earnings before interest and taxes, EBIT, EBIT. It just doesn't call it that. But anyway, enough of that. Now, to the numbers. And I'm going to show you a couple of tricks. And fortunately, when you're young like you are, you grab onto the tricks pretty fast. Ah, I get that one. That's cool. And this makes you go much faster when you're doing Excel. Trust me. Okay, so now, first things first, here's our analytics sheet. Up there on B2, equals. Just type an equal sign. Go over. Wait. Okay. Wait. Where was I? Oh, revenue. See there? Just say equals. Now go over to your spreadsheet and click on net sales for 2017. Click on B4. I feel like I'm doing bingo. B4. Bingo! Okay, and hit enter. Well, spank me. It brought the number over. And then we can go here for year -1. That's 1 year back. Equals. And then we just go over here to C4, Yahtzee. And then for 2 years back, equals. And we go over here to the other sheet, click, done. Now we format at the end, not as we go along. This is something, interestingly, I used to teach transcription and proofreading. Students, when I was an English teacher, one of the things we had to really fight was having students backspace and fix mistakes and italicize and do bolds as they were running along. You don't want to do that until the end. It just slows you down. You can do so much formatting all at once. You should not try to format as you're going along. Net income on... just put the cursor on cell B3 in the analytics sheet, and now just say equals, and then go over here, and where the heck is net? There it is on B15. Just click on it, enter. There you are. You are doing reference calls. You are simply creating spreadsheets that bring in data from an external source. And then if you actually do find next year's 10-Ks, you replace that file with the file of the same name, this sheet will update everything. It's that easy. And then we go back your net income 1 year back, equals, survey says, we go over to the other sheet, net income, pop, goes the weasel. Net income over here on year -2 equals, go back over to here, net income, bada bing, bada boom. See, you're just pulling these numbers, and this is the thing, is and I'm starting to do this a lot now because I saw you guys in classes, you were actually typing numbers in. Have you ever done that from a data set? You type the number into another data set. You don't have to do that. You just do reference calls. And we can do this right from the web. And I'll show you one where I'll do it right from the web data. Now, gross margin. Now we go over here and we look at our formula. Gross margin. That is gross profit over sales. Okay, gross profit over sales. We can do that. Gross profit over sales. So gross margin, put it on before, equals. Now you go over to your sheets. Gross profit. You click on B6, then slash, click on B4. There you go. Calculation goes that easy. And once you get good at this, by the way, I know you have to do it in here with a touchpad, but when you are doing this for real live fire or in your room, use a mouse. Always. The touchpad is a terrible, terrible invention. A mouse, just a cheapo, simple wireless mouse, you can get them at Beast Buy for about $14, something like that, or you can get them on Amazon even cheaper than that. A mouse, you really don't want to try to do touchpad on big spreadsheets. It'll kill you every time. Now just walk with me. Highlight D4 equals, and then we go over here. And I don't want to bore you too much with this. There's some important things coming up here. That's C6 over B over C4. Did I do it? Yeah. There it is. Gross margin, and then we'll do highlighting on F4 equals. You go over to your financial statement. And you do gross profit, D6 over D4. And you got that one done. Gross margin tells you how much of every dollar that went into the cash drawer is still there after you pay your wholesale costs. You follow it? Again, gross margin tells you how much of every dollar that went into the cash drawer survived to the bottom line. Now, there are no holy grails on these. Industry, you have to look at the industry. There's sometimes an absolute. There's sometimes some kind of absolute. But in a lot of cases, really, you have to look at the industry. And it doesn't really mean, well, this company's right there with the industry. Sometimes the industry sucks. So you might want to say, well, these ratios are different, but maybe these ratios are what the industry should be. You know, so you got to keep an eye on the all kinds of relatives in this. Operating margin on B5 equals, now go over to your financials. That would be operating income, B11 slash net sales, B4. Go over to your D5, that's going to equal, and you notice that you'll start going real fast, especially if you have a mouse. You'll start cruising on these. These come really fast and furious. Equals operating margin on the last year, C11 slash C4. Bingo. And then the last one, and I'm picking up speed here a little bit. Equals, and then I'm going to go back over here, operating income, D11 slash D4. Now, appreciate this. It looks like it's a pain in the butt, and it's tedious and boring seeing me do this. But believe me, it's a lot better if I do it this way, where I'm doing it as you see it, than if I'm one of those people who just puts, see, this is how it was done. Isn't that great? Now, I want you to see how it's done. See me maybe even screw up once or twice so that you get the hang of it. Net margin. That's how many of every dollar that goes into the cash drawer, that's how much of that makes it to where it belongs to the shareholders. The net margin, if you look at the sheet for it, net margin is net income divided by sales. Net income divided by sales. So, net margin. On B6, click on that and then say equals. Now you go to your sheets here. And you say net income, that would be B15 slash sales before Apple's case. Is that right? Wow. 21 cents of every dollar survived to the shareholders. Not bad. Okay, equals on D6 equals, now go over to your sheets, that would be C15 slash C4. And then, yeah, I guess so. Stable as heck. Equals on the net margin. And on that one, equals D15 slash D4. There you go. Now, I want to get through one of these, and then I want you to do these yourself. When you have the time, I know you've got your homework to do, and you got one of those online chapters 1 through 4, but when you have the time, get the rest of this done. But I want to show you a couple of real quick tricks here. ROA is actually net income over your assets. The problem is you have only 3 years of assets. So we're going to do this straight up, and then I'm going to show you something that is good to know. First of all, ROA, clicking on B7 equals net income B14 on the statement of operations divided by, now just click over to the balance sheet and find your stupid assets, which are B14. Spank me. You got it. You can use as many sheets as you need to do a formula. And that's why you want those sheets. By the way, you see now why I wanted those sheets together, so I could flip back and forth between them quickly. Now the next one, ROA, would equal go to your income statement. Notice how it will pop back to the one you used first in your last formula. Do you see that? It's back here with the income statement. That C15 slash, now go over to the balance sheet, and we have total assets at C15, is that? Isn't that interesting? Okay, now, you're going to say, well, why are you doing this? Okay, now for year two back, that equals net income, which is on the statement of operations, D14 slash, now go over here to the balance sheet, and that should be in position D15. And you're saying, now wait a minute there, fat boy. There isn't anything there. Whenever you can, don't let a spreadsheet show that. It looks like you made a mistake. Now I'm going to introduce you to something I'll bet you haven't seen. Some of you may have. It's called the NA function. Watch this trick. I'm going to take this formula here, okay? And I'm going to copy that formula. Now, don't use right-click. Use Control-C. Now, I've copied that formula. Now, watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to make that formula a little different. If, open parenthesis, is error, open parenthesis, that formula, close parenthesis, comma, NA, open parenthesis, close parenthesis. Otherwise, just do the formula. In other words, what you're going to do is you're going to do an if statement, a conditional statement. If that formula gives you an error, then instead of saying that div, do the NA function. Otherwise, if it's not an error, just do the stupid function. Oh, stop it. Oh, I see. I didn't. I got rid of something I wanted to. Let me do it again right from the scratch. As a matter of fact, this actually is good for me because I'll be able to do it. Equals if, open parenthesis, is error, open parenthesis. Now, just do that function. The net income divided by the total assets . Okay, if that's an error, then, comma, do the NA function, which is NA open parenthesis, close parenthesis. Otherwise, just do that function itself. Just calculate it. I'm going to try to copy it.
Says false.
You made a mistake.
Oh yeah.
I know.
Predictable.
Don't worry about it. And I'm going to do this again. I'm going to do a little more of this on Tuesday. But one last thing I want to do for you. Right here, see this? Your percent changes. A percent change is always equal to end minus beginning over the beginning. Now, again, watch what I can do now. Click on what I just did, hit Control C, put it on the next place you want to do it, and hit Control V. Try that again. Control C, Control V. Now, the next trick. See this? Grab that, when it turns into a little cross, click, haul that mofo down. Do the same thing here. Grab that, when it turns into a cross, grab it on that handle and pull it down. Notice something. If there's an NA anywhere in a formula, if you do another formula from an NA, it gives you an NA. N minus, it's on this formula sheet right here. N minus begin over begin. Well, that's the same one. That's all I have for you tonight. I thank you.